It's a shock.
Finding a body. The day's cold, but my body's colder as I pedal fast, disjointed through the back streets and service roads of Hammersmith. Seeking warmth, somewhere to think. What I really want is a morning transport cafe, you know, snug, condensation on the windows, low murmur of talk and elbows on table. Bacon, eggs, tomatoes, chips, bread and marge with three cups of tea piled high with sugar. It calms you down. Instead, I find Uncle Mac's 24-hour burger experience. A sort of neon-infested emporium where the food makes you hungrier and the most nutritious thing on the menu is the menu.
Jumbo burger with pecan sauce, additive and handy-packed golden french fries to go. Our special selected sunshine annual...
Burger and chips, please. With a large coffee.
That's big. £3.11.
£3.11?
I'm sorry, love. Here you go.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Munching on a grease burger, perching on a stool specifically designed to keep customers seated for as short a time as possible, is hardly the place to think deeply. Who was sending who radioactive materials in a gold bullion van? Who arranged the robbery? Presumably the same people who sent me the Geiger counter. They knew what they were robbing. And why, above all, am I, an ecology journalist, involved? These people aren't your usual bunch of nuclear protesters sitting meekly outside some power station. This lot rob bullion vans. They kill security guards. My heart beats faster. Uncle Mac's laboratory-honed food additives are getting to work. I rise, dispose my plastic disposables down a convenient disposy bin. I depart. I find a non-vandalized phone box. Phone an ex-colleague. Used to work alongside me on the Green Times till marriage and mortgage swallowed him. Now he's on Fleet Street's top tabloid.
Daily Comet.
Daily Comet?
Daily Comet.
Can you help me?
Daily Comet.
I'd like to speak to Nigel Thompson, please.
Nigel Thompson?
He's a reporter on your paper. Your science correspondent, I believe.
Put you through to
Poole. Well, yeah, but,
Poole?
Oh, hello. I'm searching for Nigel Thompson.
Speaking.
Nigel? Didn't realise you were Poole. Thought you were the Comet's science correspondent. Had your own office. Oh, it's Andy, by the way. Andy Smith.
Andy, how are you?
On a bicycle, in a phone box. Oh, not at the same time.
Doesn't sound like you've changed. Yes, I was this august publication science correspondent for a while. Then I got switched to religious affairs.
Oh, vicars and sex, you mean?
Oh, more. Is there sex after death? My night with the ghost of the naughty nighty. Now suddenly I find myself dropped in the pool, learning to drink with a pack.
Is there sex after Elvino's?
Yeah, very funny. Anyway, what can I do for you?
Has there been anything on the wires this morning about a bullion van being robbed?
Oh, there's a coincidence. Yeah, yes, about half an hour ago. I've just this minute been detailed to cover it. Yeah, let's see it. Hang on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a triple S security van on the M4, on its way from Heathrow, hijacked on the motorway, dumped in a Hammersmith warehouse.
That's it. A security guard was shot dead.
Really? Where are you speaking from, Andy?
Hammersmith.
I see. So what precisely do you want me to do? You seem to have got all the angles covered.
Well, you're going to the police press conference on it?
Yeah. Scotland Yard's holding one at 11 o'clock. We've dispatched a photographer to Hammersmith.
Nigel, could you listen very carefully at the press conference to what exactly the cargo in the van was? Whether there's the slightest hint of anything strange, you know, radioactivity even?
What?
Radioactivity? You know, uranium, plutonium?
Andy, you don't think that you're perhaps a trifle paranoid? I mean, I know plutonium is the libido of the alternative press. Is there sex after nuclear holocaust? But don't you think you're going a fraction far? This is a big, professional bullion job.
Who's the one in Hammersmith, Nigel?
Touché. Okay, I'll keep my ears open. Where can I get in touch with you?
Phone me at the magazine, the old number.
Oh, the old number. Solar power, a wind generator in every back garden, adopt a whale, free the trees. Remember those times, Andy?
I'm still living them, Nigel.
Ah, Mike.
Good morning, Mr. Knight.
Thanks for coming all the way up to the 23rd floor. Just read your editorial about the independence of the editor.
Yes?
Don't mind my bathrobe, about to take a shower.
Oh, brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. Couldn't have written it better myself. Blackjack Watson subverting the freedom of the British press is a threat to the entire nation, the fabric of society. You hit the nail beautifully on the head.
Yes?
That, however, is not the reason I called you up here. That young reporter I was talking about covered those nude murders in Ipswich. Exposed them, I should say.
Nigel Thompson?
Yes. I hope his potential is being realised.
Oh, of course, sir. I've just put him on this bank robbery story. I think it's going to be very big.
Good. Good. Or perhaps you could ask him to pop up here when he has a minute or two.
Every executive in creation is trying to get down the Westway in his customised Ford Sierra. The chokes pulled so far out they're wrapped around their rear bumpers. I pedal slow through lead-filled clouds of exhaust. In such surroundings, it's not surprising I don't notice a grimy yellow British Telecom van nosing along behind me.
Ah, that was quick. You're Nigel Thompson.
Good morning, Mr. Knight.
Call me Julian. Thanks for coming all the way to the 23rd. Hope you weren't in the middle of a story.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Julian, no trouble. Very pleasant penthouse you have here. Lovely purple curtains. Distinctive furniture. And a wonderful view.
Yes.
From 23 stories.
I like to keep all my companies under me. Live over the shop, so to say. Third highest direction in the City of London. Looks out across the whole panorama of London. The kingdoms of the world. But come and look at the view from my desk. Come over.
Goodness. What an extraordinary collection of electronics.
Yes. A time chart of the world. An electronic directory that enables me to locate any number I might require in the world and dial it, simply by touching it on the screen. A second-by-second update on the latest prices on the stock exchange, currency, futures, metal, grain, and shipping markets across the world. I can touch the number of my broker on this screen, speak to him instantly, and in 30 seconds, £2 million sterling of mine will have converted into yen, and I will have made £7,362.03. Peanuts.
Most impressive.
It gives me a necessary overview of the world in which we live.
You wanted me up here, Julian.
Thank you for reminding me. I want a word with you, Nigel. Come over and sit with me on the sofa.
This?
No, not the white one. Let's sit in the purple.
Being in ecology, a journalist pretty soon gets to know certain companies, the villains, mining companies, refining companies, chemical companies, the cowboys don't care how much they smear the biosphere. You get to know, almost instinctively, how they interlock, intercontrol, interrelate each to the other. Company's House, newly computerized and accessible to outside subscribers, also helps. After only half an hour over my grimy black-and-white office terminal, I get a result. The van belonged to Triple S Security. Triple S belongs to a food chain that is owned by Crown Investments. Itself run from Switzerland and a wholly owned subsidiary of Intco. Itself controlled by AFCO. There we are, in black and white. Blackjack Watson rears his ugly head once more into the biosphere. AFCO, specialising in pollution, coal, copper, gold, and uranium. We have a candidate for the cargo's owner. Now, who robbed him? Who knew? Well, perhaps he robbed himself. After all, HM Customs were waiting to inspect his cargo only 2 miles down the road. Green Times magazine.
Andy, it's Nigel.
There's a terrible line.
I'm phoning from the press conference.
Scotland Yard?
Yeah. I'm afraid there was no confirmation to your theory about radioactivity from spokesmen or questioners. It all seems relatively strange.
Can you speak up, please?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was a massive bullion job. £2 million worth of gold was flown into Heathrow from Tambia.
Tambia?
Yeah, in Africa.
Isn't that where Blackjack Watson runs the show?
Yeah, took it over. Just as he wants his AFCO corporation to take over the Daily Comet. Owns the mines, owns the government, or so all the Tambien exiles in London keep complaining on late-night television.
Yeah, the government being Colonel Saeed, the well-known humanitarian and man of peace.
If it's airline passengers you want cremated by terrorists or whole villages put to the bayonet, Saeed's your man.
And he has an ambitious nuclear program.
God help us all. Andy?
Yeah?
To change the subject completely, Rickmansworth.
Rickmansworth?
Yes, Leafy Rickmansworth. Helen and I were wondering if you'd like to come out for Sunday lunch.
Lunch?
Stop repeating everything I say, yes. We were thinking that, well, maybe we'd invite some friends over for a few drinks.
As he talks, I glance out of the window at the busy street beneath. A street trader tries to look as well-established as Harrods as he keeps an eye out for the police. A young dosser warms himself on the pavement grill above a sweaty printing press. And a pink and white striped British Telecom tent flaps above an uncovered manhole. Perhaps that's why the line's so bad. The wind lifts the flap. A man in headphones is staring up at me, directly at me. As he sees me watching, he turns, says something to the man in the hole. The crackling gets worse. He turns and grins straight up at me. And I thought that since privatisation, they weren't allowed to bug the phones.
Nigel, I've got to go. I'll phone you later.
It is necessary to depart. Scarpa, vamoose. Snatch up papers, tapes, notes, stuffing them in a satchel, grabbing my bike. Pound down the stairs, three at a time, jagging my rear mudguard on the banisters. At the bottom, cunning momentarily overcomes panic. Out the back, while they watch the front. Streak down the cul-de-sac from the back of the building. But as I approach the end, the lurching yellow telecom van skids to a halt before me. With a flick of the wrists, I whisk down a back alley, scattering pedestrians, emerge on busy Farringdon Street, as 50 yards behind, the yellow van lunges, screeching round behind me. Up Charterhouse, down Holborn and Newgate, I can hold him. He making up on the straight open bits, but I win on the traffic lights. Not that either of us stop, but other motorists do. Oh, God bless lovely plump overweight juggernaut, behind which he must fume. Roll on the 40-tonners. This mob aren't very subtle. They wanted me to know they were tapping my phone. Are they trying to catch me now? Or scare me? Moorgate, Threadneedle Street, Cornhill, the maze of the city, Grace Church, Fenchurch, me turning down back streets blocked by merciful delivery vans, vast doors swinging out, missing me by inches. I slip beneath. Eventually, in the Barbican, I jump a curb and shoot across a pedestrian precinct guarded by sturdy stone bollards into which he crouches. He follows on foot, but amid the concrete catacombs of culture and carpet, I lose him, creeping out eventually amid a crowd of Japanese tourists dreamily emerging from Macbeth.
Supernatural society cannot be ill. Cannot be good. If ill, why have it given me burnished or success? Commencing in Etro. I am thin of Kodor. If good, why do I yield to that suggestion? What holiday image does unfix my hair and make my sheeted heart numb at my ribs? Against the uses of nature, pleasant fears are less than horrible imagining.
Find a telephone box. Put a call through to my person friend, Shirley.
We are sisters assembled here. We are powerful. We are strong. Let all men and their power fantasies and violence hang-ups be banished far from here. Let our women's power go out into the community and... Hang on, sisters. Don't lose the spirit. Keep omming on. Yes? Yes, who is it?
Shirley, I'm sorry to call now. It's Andy.
Andy, I've told you not to phone me now. We sisters are right in the midst of a consciousness-raising session, trying to do something positive about aggression and male violence.
Yeah, yeah, great, Shirley. I'm with you 100%. But the thing is, I'm right in the middle of a really... I know this might sound daft, but a really dangerous situation myself.
Now perhaps you know what it feels like to be a woman.
Indeed,
afraid I do. But what I really need is shelter, Shirley's. Somewhere to...
Andy, we've discussed this many times. I have my space, you have your space.
Yes, but...
Sorry about that, sisters. A man. Now, where were we? Ah, yes.
I'm afraid Shirley's always been a bit aggressive when she's been with the sisters. We men do seem to be getting more and more marginal in the modern world. No wonder Clint Eastwood clings to his Magnum and I hang on to my bicycle so dearly. My beautiful 1953 Claude
Butler. A two-wheel friend, a two-wheel friend, he'll never let you down.
There's a bit of Walworth that isn't forever concrete. Amid a desert of high rises and misery, suddenly there's a common, a clearing of green and trees. And in the midst of this blasphemous idyll stands, all alone, a battered terrace of Victorian houses, a little cobbled street in the midst of bedlam. The squatters here were so fierce, so deeply entrenched, that every claw-like swoop by bulldozer and local council failed to shift them. Now front doors stay open on the latch, red brick walls flower with murals, and back gardens boast plump chickens and fat vegetables. Sanity, too, has its little asylums. My friend lives upstairs. He lives in the attic. Well, several attics run together, in fact. He was our magazine's first electronics correspondent, in those heady days when microchips and computer and satellite were there to free all men, not enslave them. Remember? Our correspondent, however, became less and less interested in writing mere words, and, stuck in his attic, more and more absorbed in writing software, constructing hardware. From nowhere, he elegantly conspired up crystalline palaces of resistors and transistors and microchips, electronic warrens of programs and knowledge and power, gradually expanding his empire from attic to attic along the roofs. Eventually, it bristled and grumbled like GCHQ in a thunderstorm. His joy, his obsession, his life's work, to win his way right through into the very heart of the most secret computer system. To boldly hack where no hack has ever hacked before. To unlock the spirit that moves military satellites through the skies and helps pay all outstanding electricity bills.
So I'm going into this closed system, see? Won't tell you which one. Well-known high street bank, actually. And I'm worried about me data format parity setting, right? You know, in a typical asynchronous protocol like, each character is surrounded by bit binary digits to show when it starts and when it ends, to show whether it's a checksum performed on its binary equivalence comes out odd or even.
Yeah, right.
But that, like, is only one of its ways of stopping you. Really clamshell this system. It's tight as a camel's backside in a sandstorm. It only uses ideal terminal emulator systems in its software system, see? So I've got to try out its variants while I'm still on the line. Hairy, eh? I'm brainstorming, the computer's brainstorming, and one of us has got to burn.
Goodness.
5 hours and 20 minutes later, though, as the sun is rising over the high rises of Bermondsey, it's the computer that burns, crunches, and I'm into it, like a rat up a drainpipe.
So what did you do?
Oh, you like this, Rich. I left a little instruction in its program. Tomorrow morning, every computer in every high street branch in Britain will bear the tastefully designed message, Birmingham Drizzle was here.
Is that all? After all that effort? You might at least have withdrawn all the bank's funds from South Africa.
No, it's the system that matters. Crunching the system. Getting more and more stuff from behind the Iron Curtain. They're like us 15 years ago, building their own stuff. Starting to hack away. Laszlo from Budapest, right, is a governmental engineer. Just sent me a whole lot of stuff about this dam the Czechs are building. We'll lower the water table by 2 feet and ruin the ecology. No more geese on the Great Hungarian Plain. Thought you might be interested in that.
Yeah.
So, to what do I owe the pleasure, Andrew? Shift the baked bean tins and the cat and sit down.
Oh, thanks. Well, this is confidential.
That's really like...
You don't think that by any chance you might be able to break into the police computer at Hendon? In particular, into Special Branch's record?
Shouldn't be impossible. After all, they're always so busy sticking their noses into everyone else's business, they probably never dream anyone would look into theirs. And careless in their security, I bet. What are you after?
I want to see their reports on a bullion robbery this morning in Hammersmith.
Uh-huh.
Find out whether there are any political or nuclear aspects to it.
Sounds tasty. Tell you what, how's about you doing us a nice big plate full of beans on toast? Start the day on the right note while I get all my preliminaries set up.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, and could you do the necessaries by the cat?
Yeah, right.
I did the necessaries by the cat. Cat didn't seem to mind too much. I then prepared a mountain of margarine slices of toast and baked beans into which Birmingham launched himself, his eyes never leaving his screen, his fingers ever dancing out new variations on the keyboard. I washed several sinkfuls of bean-stained plates, hoovered the floor, made the bed, and visited the laundromat with many generations of Birmingham's underwear. Eventually, as daylight draws to a close and the evening sun slants in through the attic windows, interesting combinations start to come together. The codes by which you enter the computer, the systems that exist within her. So you can start asking the right questions straight away without arousing too much attention. Eventually, one obstacle remained.
She's aged 28, isn't married, and apparently is called Doreen.
Doreen?
She's Special Branch's concession to security. She sits at their computer in Hendon, and if any one of the calls don't smell kosher, she phones them back. Foolproof? Oh, don't be despondent, Andrew. How do you think I won me handle Birmingham Drizzle? Computer hacking isn't just about system busting. It's also psychology. Behold, Birmingham Drizzle in all his glory.
Hendon CT.
Hello.
Hendon CT.
Hello, is that Doreen?
Yeah.
How are you getting on then, Doreen? Remember me, Mark Blockswich, West Midlands Special Branch.
Who?
Met you at the office social last Christmas, remember? You're 28 and unmarried, right? I was the one with the holly leaves sticking out from your hair.
Oh.
And I was telling you all about the difficulties I was having with me double glazing. Remember that? How it was all condescending up the rooms, rotting out the woodwork in me windows like, and leaving damp patches in all the walls.
What's your...
By the way, how's the weather down in London? I was speaking to Dave Fields in Bristol, says the sun's shining out there.
Well, it's shining here as well, I think.
Amazing, isn't it? The whole country basks in tropical sunshine like, and what happens up here in Birmingham? Pours with rain, heaving it down. Makes you wonder, eh, if the,
What's your code, Birmingham?
Pardon?
I asked for your access code.
Oh, my access code, got it here somewhere. All this paperwork, right, no rest for the wicked, eh, Doreen? Here we are. 734607B. All right.
Thank you. You're through.
We're in. You got us in.
Amazing, isn't it? Just speak to anyone in a thick, brummy accent. Start talking to them about the weather, all the rain we've been having recently, and they just don't want to know. Anyone think we Brummies were boring?
We diligently searched through Special Branch's vast files, starting with the main index and today's log. Under the robbery, there was little time and place. A query that it might be political, terrorist-related, quickly dismissed. But always they referred to it as a gold robbery. Never a sniff of radioactivity. One reference to a grass who had mentioned a rumour of the raid 2 weeks before. E.B. He wasn't on SB's files, even on the CID's, but on the drug squad. The drug squad. Eric Butler, also known as Smooth Move Eric, 27, Caucasian, blonde, 5'8", slight build, string of heroin convictions as long as the needle scars all down his arm. Heroin? The file listed Eric's habitual haunts. He drew a line from Piccadilly Circus to Leicester Square to Tottenham Court Road, and he'd be within it. Within the embrace of that ancient, heartless old crone mother Soho. Crammed with the young, the homeless, the unemployed, our nation's future forgotten, drifting, clinging above the abyss of oblivion. Kevin from Gateshead sniffing glue, once some mother's son, held in her loving arms amongst drying nappies. Sandra from Somerset selling her 14-year-old body to keep her and her friends in hamburgers. Cruel city. Cruel country. I trekked from soulless arcade to soulless amusement arcade. Approached the men behind the change counter, trying to look 17 ways simultaneously from behind their dark glasses.
You know Eric?
What?
Eric.
Eric who?
Smooth Move Eric.
I know Spotty Eric. There's Eric the Red,
Bloody young anarchist always breaking into my jackpots with a crowbar.
No. Eventually, a direction. To an unlighted back alley where, amid the dustbins, Smooth Move Eric plies his unlovely trade. I edge into the darkness.
Eric? Eric? Oh, blooming dustbins.
Suddenly, I see Eric. His final move had not been a smooth one. He died thrashing amid the dustbins, his throat cut generously, gaping from ear to ear. Some mother's son. I backed gingerly away. I would speak to the police, call them. But then, as we know, Eric had spoken to the police.